Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev, Text 11. Pandu Putra Upasina Prashraya Prema Sangatan Abhichastanu Raga Shriar Adibhutena Chakshusha Panduputranupasina Prashraya Prema Sangatan Abhyachastanu Raga Shriar Andibhutena Chakshusha Panduputranupasina Prashraya Prema Sangatan Abhyachastanuraga Shriar Andibhutena Chakshusha Panduputranupasina Prashraya Prema Sangatan Abhyachastanuraga Shriar Andibhutena Chakshusha Puchana Pasina Shriya Pena Sangita Puchana Chakshusha Puchana Pasina Andibhutena Chakshusha Andibhutranapasina Prashraya Prema Sangatan Abhyachastanu Raga Shriar Andibhutena Chakshusha Andibhutranapasina Abhibhutena Chakshusha Abhibhutena Pasina Abhibhutena Sangita Abhichastana Ragasya Abhibhutena Chakshusha Pandiputana Pasina Pasraya Pema Sangatan Pashastanaraya Shaya Pandiputana Chakshasha
Vaishnavis.
Pandiputranapasina. Prashraya Pena Sangatam. Ichasanaragasraya. Pandiputena Chachasa. Pandiputranapasina. Pandu, the late father of Maharaj Yudhisthira and his brothers. Putran, the sons of Upasinan, sitting silently nearby. Prashraya, being overtaken. Prema, in feelings of love. Sangatan, having gathered. Avyachasta, congratulated. Anuraga, feelingly. Ashrahai, by tears of ecstasy. Andibhutena, overwhelmed. Chakshusha, with his eyes. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. The sons of Maharaj Pandu were sitting silently nearby, overtaken with affection for their dying grandfather. Seeing this, Bhishmadev congratulated them with feeling. There were tears of ecstasy in his eyes, for he was overwhelmed by love and affection. Purport. When Maharaj Pandu died, his sons were all small children, and naturally they were brought up under the affection of elderly members of the royal family, specifically by Bhishma Dev. Later on, when the Pandavas were grown up, they were cheated by cunning Duryodhana and company, and Bhishma Dev, although he knew that the Pandavas were innocent and were unnecessarily put into trouble, could not take the side of the Pandavas for political reasons. At the last stage of his life, when Bhishma Dev saw his most exalted grandsons, headed by Maharaj Yudhisthira, sitting very gently at his side, the great warrior grandfather could not check his loving tears, which were automatically flowing from his eyes. He remembered the great tribulation suffered by his most pious grandsons. Certainly, he was the most satisfied man because of Yudhisthira's being enthroned in place of Duryodhana, and thus he began to congratulate them. Omagana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in the synonyms, Srila Prabhupada uses the word prema in, you know, to describe the feelings of love that are being exchanged between Bhishma Deva and the Pandavas. So usually we hear from Srila Prabhupada that prema is only for the relationship between the devotees and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, we hear Lord Krishna criticizing Arjuna for expressing his attachment and affection for his relatives as being a reason for him not to fight with them. And, you know, we often hear in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, sages recommending that we give up, you know, material attachments and material relationships and direct our loving propensity toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is certainly true, but in the process of bhakti yoga, there is also some room for loving affection between the devotees. So how do you make the distinction? You know, what is a proper loving relationship among the devotees of the Lord? In other words, the example of King Bharata, who had renounced his kingdom and gone to meditate in the forest. And he had achieved a very high level of meditation upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. He had attained the stage of at least bhava, which is the preliminary stage of the ultimate realization of love of God. But, you know, he saw a deer, and this deer was being chased by some predator, and the deer was pregnant and gave birth out of fright and fear. So he took this baby deer and became very attached to it. You know, he felt lots of love and affection for it. But he became so attached to the deer that he began to give up his practices of bhakti yoga. They began to interfere with it. So that was an improper expression of love and affection. And the way it could be understood as such was that he lost his focus on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as a result of that, he had to take his next birth as a deer. So that is one way, you know, that we can tell if our affectionate relationship with others is not within the bounds of the principles of bhakti yoga, the yoga of devotion. So Rupa Goswami in his book, Upadesh Amrita, The Nectar of Instruction, gives some guidelines of how devotees can express feelings of prema or love and affection with each other. He says, Dadati pratigrinati, guya makyati prichtati, bhunkte bojayate chaiva, sadvidam pratilakshanam. So he says there are these six ways that devotees can legitimately express their love and affection for each other. Dadati pratigrinati. Dadati means by giving gifts. Pratigrinati, by accepting gifts. So devotees can give things to each other and accept gifts from each other. Guya makyati prichtati. Devotees inquire confidentially from each other, and they reveal their minds in confidence, and they accept, they hear confidentially from each other. So these are expressions of love and affection between devotees within the bounds of the practice of devotional service. Bhunkte bojayate. Devotees offer prasadam to each other, spiritual foodstuffs offered to the Lord first, and they accept such offerings. So these are some expressions of love and affection among devotees. And, we can find in the Srimad Bhagavatam other descriptions of loving relationships among devotees, for example, between husband and wife. There's the account of Devahuti, the wife of Kardama Muni. Devahuti was a princess from a royal family, yet she was given in marriage. She accepted as her husband a very renowned sage, Kardama Muni. And it's described in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam how she related to her husband with love and affection. So there is room in the practice of devotional service for expressions of love and affection, not just between the devotees and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, but among the devotees themselves. Even Lord Krishna says in one place, he who claims to be my devotee is not my devotee, but the devotee who claims to be the devotee of my devotee, he's actually my devotee. So this is one of the aspects of devotional service. There was a famous letter that a lady named Lynn Ludwig wrote to Srila Prabhupada in the 1970s. She had happened to meet two devotees, probably brahmacharis, and she had written a letter complaining to Srila Prabhupada that these devotees seemed to be manifesting very negative attitudes. They didn't appear to be very loving or kind or affectionate, in her opinion. And Srila Prabhupada replied to her, well, I don't know all the details of the interaction between you and these two followers of mine, but in the practice of devotional service, we have to become free from material attraction. So sometimes in the beginning stages of devotional service, when a devotee is becoming free from the material entanglements of various kinds of material relationships, they can, you know, become a little bit restrained in their dealings because they don't want to fall back under the influence of distracting material relationships, under the influence of Maya, the illusory potency of the Lord. But in the higher stages of devotional service, a devotee becomes the kind friend of all people. You know, there's some description in the Srimad Bhagavatam of the different levels of devotees, the Kanishta Adhikaris, or the beginners, the Madhyama Adhikaris, or those in the intermediate stage, and the Uttama Adhikaris, those in the most advanced stage. So the Kanishta Adhikari, the beginner, is simply focused on the deity in the temple and doesn't know how to relate to devotees or to the members of the general public. It's just totally focused on the deity in the temple. But the devotee in the intermediate stage, and all of us are in the intermediate stage, has a different outlook. Ishvare tadidaneshu balisheshu tu satsucha prema maitri kripopeksha yakaroti samadhyamaha. So that verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam explains that the devotee in the intermediate stage relates to four things: Ishvara, the Supreme Lord, Krishna, Tad Idineshu, to those who are related to Krishna, in other words, Krishna's devotees, then Baliseshu, to the innocent members of the general public, and then Dvishatsu, to the envious members of the general public. Prema Maitri Kripopeksha, prema, love, the devotee directs towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Maitri, friendship, the devotee in the intermediate stage makes friendly relations with other devotees of Lord Krishna. Kripa, mercy, the devotee in the intermediate stage shows mercy towards the innocent members of the general public. And upeksha means neglect. The devotee in the intermediate stage neglects those who are envious and hostile and ignorant. So these guidelines are given in the Srimad Bhagavatam for the behavior of a devotee. Of course, the Uttama Adhikari, the most advanced devotee on the highest stage, relates, sees everyone, even the envious, as being engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and deserving of respect. So those guidelines are given for the behavior of devotees in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the purport here, some other things are mentioned. It says, Bhishma Dev, although he knew that the Pandavas were innocent and were unnecessarily put into trouble, could not take the side of the Pandavas for political reasons. In one of his lectures, Srila Prabhupada explains the reason for this. Bhishma Dev was accepting financial support from Duryodhana, the son of King Dhritarashtra. So, although he was very affectionate to the Pandavas, he was accepting, you know, financial support from the Kuru dynasty, who were trying to usurp the kingdom and destroy the Pandavas. So externally, he had to go along with that. You know, he said, if I don't act in support of Duryodhana, it wouldn't be right, because I'm accepting my financial support from him. But within, he maintained his affectionate attitude toward the Pandavas, and as described here, he was very happy to see them installed as the rulers of the kingdom after the battle of Kurukshetra. And all of this is being described by Vyasadeva, the great sage who was the author of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And, you know, it's interesting that he's not only the author of the Bhagavatam and the Mahabharata, but he's also the father of some of the personalities who are involved in the drama that he is describing. He was the son of the great sage Parashara Muni and a woman named Satyavati, who was the daughter of a fisherman. And later, she became the wife of King Santanu. And King Santanu and Satyavati had two sons, Chitrangada and Vichitravirya. And Vichitravirya had two wives, Ambika and Ambalika. And before he could have children with them, he died, Srila Prabhupada explains, of a heart attack. So Satyavati asked her son Vyasadeva to give them children. And this was actually allowed. You know, it was, if Vyasadeva was actually the brother of Vichitravirya, because they had the same mother, Satyavati. So by Ambika, Vyasadeva had a son, Dhritarashtra. By Ambalika, Vyasadeva had a son, Pandu. So Vyasadeva was actually the father of an ancestor of the personalities he's describing in the Mahabharata and the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's very amazing. So they're all related in some way. And, you know, they have these affectionate relationships with each other. And because they're all related, that's one reason why Krishna didn't want to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra. He took the side of Arjuna, but he vowed not to fight himself. He would just be the charioteer of Arjuna, one of the Pandavas. So in the end, Bhishma Dev was very happy to see the Pandavas installed as the rulers of the kingdom, even though he was fighting on the opposite side. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Or correction.
Thank you for a very insightful class, very illuminating on the verse expressing the affection that Bhishma Dev had with the Pandavas. It is my understanding that at this point in the battle of Kurukshetra, we're only on the 10th day. Bhishma Dev is dying on the 10th day, and it is not the 18th day. The 18th day would bring it to mean the ending, so they haven't been installed unless Bhishma Dev, who was a very advanced soul, knew that the Pandavas, because they were connected with Krishna, would be the winners. So that was just the first point. But I wanted to ask a question, unless you want to respond to that before I ask the question. So the question is this, is that you mentioned the six different symptoms of loving exchange between devotees. And in that regard, my question is this. At what point is loving exchange between devotees, when does it become harmful to the extent that it does not help their spiritual life, but actually hurts their spiritual life? In other words, it's not all in all. Just as you mentioned in your talk, just as King Bharat did no wrong, and it was not at all harmful at the beginning to rescue the deer, had he given the deer away to the deer community and freed himself of it, then that would have been fine. But he didn't do that, and that's what became harmful. He became completely overwhelmed and attached and absorbed in loving affection for that. So in terms of devotees, when does it become harmful for them to become too loving to one another?
As I was indicating in the description of Maharaj Bharata, King Bharata, his affection for the deer became improper when he began, in the name of that affection, giving up his practices and principles of devotional service. So that would be, you know, the main guideline, you know, I would say. If, for example, in the name of having an affectionate relationship with another devotee of the opposite sex, for example, one is led into breaking the regulative principles, then you would have to say that wasn't a proper expression of affection. You know, in other words, in the name of Guhya Makyati Prichtati, in the name of confidentially revealing one's mind or inquiring confidentially, one gets dragged into a relationship that causes one to give up the principles, some principle of the practice of devotional service, then you could say, well, that was an improper expression of affection among devotees. Oh, okay.
You mentioned how because Grandfather Bhishma was accepting the financial support from the Kauravas, he felt that he had to fight with them. But I'm just trying to understand, because the twice born, they don't get financial support. They're independent financially. So how does that work out exactly?
I'm just going by what I got from Srila Prabhupada's explanation of this. Let's see if I can find the exact words.
Yeah, I've read the same thing too, but I was just trying to understand both points, so.
Yeah. So Srila Prabhupada said in a lecture that he gave in London on the Bhagavad Gita in 1973, Bhishma Dev joined with Duryodhana because Arjuna, or Maharaj Yudhisthira, was not the king at that time. The financial control was not in their hands. And these people, the sons of Dhritarashtra, they were on the government political power. The financial control was in their hand. So they were giving enough money for the maintenance of Bhishma Dev. So they were supporting Bhishma Dev. Now, Kshatriyas get their money from taxes on land they control and people they control. So the way they could have given him financial support was giving him access to certain, you know, permission to tax certain activities or certain people, a certain segment of the population. Mm-hmm. So that's how the Kshatriyas were able to get wealth and support themselves. Like Krishna and the Pandavas, in order to avoid the Kurukshetra war, had asked the Kurus, you know, Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana, to give them each just one village for their support. but they were told, we won't give you even a pinhead of land to control. So the Brahmins, they're supported by charity. The Kshatriyas are supported by taxes. The Vaishyas can get their support by their business activities. And the Sudras should be maintained by the others. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
shall be restored to me again.